Everybody likes guns. They just don't know it. Deep inside of his soul, there's a cowboy trying to get out.
Welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content and word pronunciation is simply the opinion of the hosts and their guests.
Welcome to episode 127 of New Shooter Canada. Tonight we have Thomas.
Hello.
Mike.
Hello.
And guest star Lorianne from the Canadian Force Women Society.
Hello.
How you doing, Lori?
Good, how are you?
Good. So, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what you started doing last May?
So, I started the Canadian Sports Women Society, and that is helping ladies and their family get out into the shooting sports and the outdoors.
And how's it been going since you started it?
It's been really good. It's been really busy. The overwhelming response from people wanting to get themselves and their kids out and their wives involved has actually been really, really good.
Excellent. So since we started with Lori, why don't we ask her what she did with guns this week? But you didn't do shooting this week because you've been sick, but you went to an outdoor show last week?
Yes, last week I was at the Fort Erie Niagara Outdoor Show. We met up with a bunch of great people. There was a lot of good vendors, a lot of people interested in what we're doing, and definitely some contacts were swapped. So hopefully we have some more things coming up in the future.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, so I guess I should put it back to Benny since he is the lead host tonight.
Yes, and of course there's me. I forgot to introduce myself. I'm Benny. So this week in guns, I didn't really do that much. I went to the Toronto Sportsman Show. It wasn't that much different than last year. I think, I don't think Fundy Tactical was there last year. So 511 had a booth in the Toronto Sportsman Show this year. There was I did notice there was someone, they were advertising a simulator kind of range situation there. So you can just show up to your boardroom or whatever and have a range day in the office kind of thing. And I did manage to get my outdoors card, Saturday night. After the show, met up with Thomas and Mary Patrick and Tracy Wilson and Gavin and Andrew from the King and Patriot podcast for some adult beverages. I didn't have any, but it was fun meeting all these people and got to talk with a bunch of CCFR guys. And then today I managed to get my hands on a RCDS press and some 41 Magnum. Reloading components and dies and 9mm dies. So.
Oh, excellent.
One step closer to starting to reload.
What kind of press was it?
I haven't looked at it properly. It's still sitting in the wine box it was handed to me in. I have to look through it properly. I got the manual and some die sets, and you said there was some powder in there too, so.
Okay. 41 Magnum, it's a nice caliber. I like the 41 Magnum. You don't see very many of them, but yeah, it's a good thing that you've got the dies because they're hard to find.
Yeah.
Do you have something?
I don't have anything in 41 Magnum, but the person who gave it to me does, and he's slowly moving away from firearms, I think. He's getting ready to pass them on, and he happens to have a really nice revolver in 41 Magnum, so.
Oh.
No idea what it shoots like. But I have components for it now, so yay.
that's a weird round, the 41. You don't hear that one very often.
No.
I've thought about picking one up a couple times, but I always ended up buying the 44 instead. Because I already have dies for the 44.
And I imagine that 41, like buying factory 41 special ammo would be much more expensive even than 44 or 357.
Don't see it often. The only time I ever see it is the Winchester Super X hunting loads in 41 Magnum, and that's very seldom.
Yeah. Hmm.
So, Mike, what did you do this week in guns?
Tumbling and depriming. That pretty much sums it up, yeah. Pretty much I've been depriming. I've deprimed, I don't know, 5,000 rounds of 9mm, and I've started depriming all my 38 special. And I've just been tumbling it in that new stainless steel tumbler. And I've already broke one belt on my tumbler.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I went online afterward and looked it up. And apparently it's quite common that these break. I guess the belt that they come with aren't really super heavy duty. So I found a lot of places that said, oh, just go to a vacuum store. And I guess, I don't know, a central vac somewhere in your house has an O-ring that's roughly the same size. So everyone said to look that. So I'll see. It came with a little baggie of about 6 extra belts. So I have time in case if another one breaks before I need to run out and find a replacement. And really outside of that, I ordered another cage feeder plate for a small rifle so I can run my 223 through my progressive press.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I haven't started reloading for rifle yet. I just took the reload pistol.
No, I have reloaded rifle. I reloaded 22-250 for Sarah's bolt action gun, but she shoots it so rarely that I think I reloaded like 200 rounds for her like 3 years ago and she still hadn't shot them all, so.
Do you do any reloading, Lori?
I personally don't, but my husband and father-in-law do. So they call the magic numbers to add this and that, so they do it for me.
And you just play with what the results of their labor?
Yes.
Not a bad deal.
Well, sounds like a deal to me.
I just have to pick them up off the ground, that's all.
Well, that's important, too.
It is very important.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything in guns this week either. The only thing I did was I met Benny up at the Arizona's across from the airport. And we met up with Tracy Wilson. I didn't really want to go to the sportsman show because it's the same old, same old. It hasn't really, it's getting better, but there's not enough there for me because it's a very small hunting, very small shooting section. And then it's all fishing and camping and it's, and I went there last year, so I didn't bother going. But the whole reason I went out there is because I wanted to finally meet Mary Packer. And her stepdad, Scott Gardner, turned us on to Mary about 2 years ago, and we've had her on the show several times. She's a co-host on the show, and I've never, ever met her. So it was nice for Benny and I to finally meet her. And it was nice meeting – there's a lot of Facebook people that I never – like I talked to on Facebook, but I've never seen Jamie Elliott. I got to see Ryan was there again. There's a lot of people from it's all CCFR people. Mark Louis from, he used to belong to the NFA. He was there. So it was nice seeing, a lot of old friends I hadn't seen in a while. It was nice, to make a few new friends. I didn't really speak to, Andrew or Gavin a lot because, I was mingling more on the other side of the room. Benny spent most of the time, with those guys. But, did I not see Andrew give you some type of patch, Benny?
Yes, I have. I did receive the Ragnarok tactical patch, which it was great because I actually had a blank spot on my shirt that evening, so I got to fill it up.
It was funny because Andrew sort of just snuck around the table and sort of slapped it on his arm and walked away, and you can see Benny look at it with a sense of pride in his face. So it was kind of nice to see. I didn't even talk to them. I just said, because they were sitting so far over, I couldn't really be a part of the conversation, but I did get to say goodbye to them when they left at least.
Yeah, you got into that picture.
Yeah, I got into a picture and I said goodbye to Andrew before he left. But even at the charity shoot, we went to the dinner the night before. I think right to the very end, I talked to him for maybe a couple of minutes. But I've seen the man a few times, but I bet I barely had more than 2 or 3 sentences with him. So one of these days, I'm happy I can have to sit down and say, won't have a beer with him. He can have the beer, I'll have the coffee, but actually talk to the guy. But it was fun. Yeah. We had a good time. It was funny afterwards because everybody left and Ryan wanted to go over to the, what do you call it? The ballet next door.
I wasn't part of that conversation.
No. Benny had already left. All the good people had already left. And I was like, no, I said, I'm just not, I'm not spending $10 for a bottle of water. I said, I'm sorry. I'm just not going to do it because I don't drink. So they talked me into it. I get over, I make it in the front door. I actually made it into the front door of the ballet. And as soon as we get in there, the guy says, $10 cover charge. I said, okay. And it was cold out. So all I had was my jean jacket and my hoodie. And then they wanted me to take off my hat and check my coat. And I said, I'm cold. He said, just got a jean jacket on. Doesn't matter. You got to take off your hat and check my coat. And I think that was another $5 or $6 on top of the $10 cover charge to get in. And I just turned to Ryan and put my hand on his shoulder. I said, thanks, buddy, but I said, it's just not worth it for a bottle of water. Have a good night. And I left. I just couldn't. And we're standing outside. This is drunken Russian mafia looking guy with this ballet dancer, I should say. And just the whole thing was bad just from the word go. So that's why I don't go to these places.
The ballet, a bad place to go.
Oh, yeah. Well, isn't that where Bruce Wayne's parents got shot? Like, seriously, it's not the most wholesome place to be.
This is true. I never thought of it that way, Betty.
Oh, boy.
I can see the attraction if you're, you know, 18 or 19 and you're legal age and you want to go to places like that, fine. But at my age, I've got a wife at home. I'd rather not go to places like that. I'm sorry. But I did make it through the front door. I did make it that far.
All right.
I still got slapped for even going in the front door, so I'll tell you that much. I made the mistake of telling Terry about it.
Maybe she wants to go to the ballet with you.
I think once all the girls did go to the ballet. I know there's been a few ladies' outings to the ballet. So I'm not talking about it anymore. I'll send it back to our lead host, Benny.
Dig up, Thomas. Dig up.
Oh.
So, guns in the news. Mike, do you want to take story one?
Yeah, sure. Story one, another new range in Durham opening up. So, this is Ganyan Sports. I'm assuming this is the same Ganyan Sports that's in Oshawa. What's the road there?
Yeah, it's the same one.
Yeah. And it looks like they're opening up their own indoor shooting range. Is this already opened?
I think it's supposed to be opening in May. What a lot of people may not realize is actually in the Backy Ganyans for the longest time, I think it was laser tag. They own the whole building behind them as well, too. Oh. So they've already got the pre-existing structure. I guess it's just a matter of getting approval from the town, approval from the CFO, and they're not in a residential area like FOC is. They're in a commercial area, so I guess the noise complaints or the noise levels aren't going to be as much of a concern down there.
Yeah.
But I had no idea. I know like Jason was telling me that the one was opening out there, and I think he was telling me that it was East Hill Outdoor, so maybe it was Ganyans the whole time. I don't know.
Oh, maybe. But it looks like they do have they already have some memberships up for grab. Looks like an annual VIP membership for 1 year is $600. And then, yep. And it looks like for a partner add-on is $180. And it looks like they also have storage lockers that you can rent for a year for $125.
Hmm. Well, that makes sense because, you know, they're advertising they're near the Oshawa GO station. So, can't really bring your firearms onto the train, I assume.
No.
If they have any similar rules as the TPC.
That's a good point. That would be kind of cool if you could just, I'm up an hour early, go there, you know, go to the range for an hour, then you just leave your gun there and go into work or on your way home. Man, what a crappy day. You know? I need to go blow off some steam.
I don't know if that's legal because the firearms have to be registered to the residence and your ATT is from the residence to the range and back again. It's not from a storage facility.
Well I imagine the storage facility is the range.
Right.
So, I'm not sure. You'd be leaving your guns at the range, technically, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Think of it this way. What you're paying for in that storage fee is just a spot in Ganyan Sports shooting range is safe, right, to hold your gun.
Well, I assume that the fees are going to be expensive coming from Ganyan, so I'm not surprised they're asking that kind of money.
Yeah.
But Target Sports is over $1,000 for a full membership, so.
Yeah. Yep, but it looks like so it's going to be a new state-of-the-art shooting facility. PAL and Hunter safety courses will be available on site. 10 handgun shooting bays, 27 meters. 6 rifle shooting bays, 50 meters. Modern range baffling and backstop. Modern air filtration system. Well-stocked merchandise and firearms retail area. Staffed by experienced shooters and qualified range officers. 24-hour security monitoring. Lockable lockers, women and men's washroom facilities, spacious common lounge and classroom spaces, only 30 minutes from Toronto, conveniently located off the 401, plenty of parking, and near Oshawa GO station, close to newly renovated Oshawa Shopping Center, close to a variety of great restaurants. I just realized what they're doing. It's all the shoppers. Think of that, Christmas shopping, You know, wife wants to go do all the shopping. You just drop her off. You drive over to the range. You spend, you know, a couple hours at the range. She calls you up, ready to go. All right, you jump in the car, drive back, pick her up, and that's what I would like to do for my Christmas shopping this year.
I did that once. I took my wife and her friend to Niagara Falls Outlet Mall. The outdoor, they have an outdoor outlet mall. I dropped her off and her friend, and I popped into Bass Pro at the time. Didn't see anything. Went to my range, shot at my range, came back 2 hours later, picked them up, went home. It was great.
See, I think that's how it should be. And Thomas, you're still muted.
That better?
That, there you go.
There we go.
I was gonna say, I do the same thing because Terry likes the Blue Heron Casino up in Port Perry. Well, I'm not in the casinos, like, so I'll give her 50 or 100 bucks, whatever she wants to spend. I'll drop her off the casino. My range is like 2-3 kilometers down the street. I said, just text me when you're ready. When you're out of money, text me.
That's good. That works out.
Well, it depends, because there's been a couple times she's talked me to going into the casino, and I've actually won money.
Well, yeah, you could win a new gun for that range trip.
Well, Williams Arms is about the same distance from the casino as my range is. So the one time, thank God she doesn't listen, I won like 1800 or 1900 bucks. I ran to Williams Arms. I bought a gun. I came back. I said, and I handed her $500. Look, hon, I won. She was more than happy that we won back the money that we lost, and I got a new gun out of the deal. Oh, so geez. I disappear as soon as we go in there, right? So I'll take her to where she wants to go. I said, this is the machine you want? I said, okay. And then I roam around. And if I win, I'm in, I'm out, and I'm back at that machine like nothing happened. Only if it's on a Saturday, because they're closed Sunday, Monday.
You have to get them in shooting with you, and then it would be a lot more fun for everybody.
Well, she does have her pal. She has her RPAL, actually, and when she was sick in May, it expired. So I had to transfer all her restricted to my name. So she's got the application. She's got the new picture. She's just got to send it in, but she's been sitting on it for the last 2-3 months. So,
yeah.
Or I take her shooting. The good news is I got all our guns.
So you're like, take your time. It'll be fine.
Well, yeah, because she's got a beautiful 1911 Kimber factory comp. She's got a 2245. It doesn't have a comp, but it has a red dot. She's got a Beretta Nias. She's got a Walther P22. So she's got 4 handguns I could borrow. But well, they're mine now, so. Oh. Of course, I'll transfer them back when she gets her license.
Yeah, we'll see when that time comes, right?
Yeah. If not, I inherit them anyway, right?
Yeah.
Story 2 is a 40-year-old Burlington man is facing 20 criminal charges after he walked into a courthouse in the town of Milton, allegedly carrying a loaded gun and several knives. They should know better. They do have security at courthouses. Halton Regional Police say that the suspect walked into the Milton Courthouse located at 491 Steeles Avenue at 1028 on Monday and approached a security checkpoint. Security officers spotted the gun in the man's person and he was immediately arrested without incident. Search of the suspect yielded several knives, including one considered prohibited under the criminal code. Police searched the subject's vehicle and found a second loaded firearm. Detective Sergeant Dave Constantini said that after a follow-up investigation, police believe that there was not a plan to harm any individuals in the courthouse. And an additional 7 guns were seized from the suspect's home in Burlington following the incident. A suspect identified as John Tyrone has been charged with offenses including possession of prohibited restricted firearms and ammunition, carrying a concealed weapon, careless use of a firearm, possession of a firearm at an unauthorized place, and he's held in custody pending a bail hearing. Okay, how stupid are you to walk into a courthouse that's got metal detectors and a security at the front door with weapons on your persons? Come on.
I'm just confused about this careless use of a firearms charge. Unless it's lumped together with possession of a firearm at an unauthorized place. But like, careless use? He didn't use it. If he did, there'd be a lot more problem.
Maybe just by having it on him, he was carelessly carrying it around. What if he was carrying it Mexican style, right? No holster, just tucked in his pants. That's pretty careless.
even thinking about it, it's painful.
I'll take story three. So the Supreme Court just ruled that cops cannot search your home without a warrant, just because it would be impractical to get one. Canada's Supreme Court just made it harder for police to search your home without a warrant by Justin Longgrove, Vice News Canada, March 17, 2017. In a new landmark ruling, the Supreme Court of Canada has issued a new warning to police forces across the country. You need a warrant to search someone's house. It may seem obvious, but in one case from British Columbia, a government lawyer contended that the warrantless search of a man's apartment was perfectly legal. The majority of Canadians' top courts disagreed, registering a win for Canadians' privacy rights. The presumptive unreasonableness of the warrantless search and the high privacy interest attached to a person's residence have long been fundamental to our understanding of the proper relationship between citizens and state. The majority of the court wrote, as it threw out a trove of evidence obtained by the BC RCMP and allowed an appeal in the case. The case dates back to 2007 when three RCMP officers responded to a 911 call for a woman who told the operator she'd been injured. When the police arrived, the woman's mother directed the cops to her boyfriend's apartment. After they questioned the man about the girlfriend's injury and decided there was no pressing matter, she had gone to hospital, and they began to inquire about the smell of marijuana coming from his apartment. After some back and forth, he confessed that he had a few roaches in the apartment. The police said they would seize smoke joints, but wouldn't press charges. As the man went to get the roaches, however, one officer pushed his way into the apartment and one of his partners followed. Inside, they found bags full of pills, four loaded weapons, and a variety of other drugs and illegal items. The RCMP officers returned to the detachment to obtain a warrant and then returned to the apartment to seize all the goods. The man was convicted of nine drug and weapon charges. A court of appeal later upheld the convictions and refused to throw out the evidence, even as the man and his lawyer argued that it was all obtained under an illegal search. Crown lawyers successfully argued that exigent circumstance applied here, that it would have been impossible for the police to get a warrant at the moment, that waiting for a warrant could have put their lives in danger, and that he may have destroyed the evidence in time it took to get the warrant. The Supreme Court admitted that the case was a close call, but ultimately decided that no, the police can't search your apartment without a warrant, even if it's inconvenient or impractical to get a warrant. In this case, the police had practical opinion to arrest the appellant and obtain a warrant to either the residence and seize the roaches. The court wrote in its decision, if, as the Crown says, the situation was not serious enough to arrest and apply for a warrant, then it cannot have been serious enough to intrude into the private residence without a warrant.
You know, this shouldn't even gone to the Supreme Court. The lower court sort of ruled it an illegal search right in the beginning, because the law clearly states that you need a warrant or consent to enter the domicile. Yet the first court said, well, there wasn't enough time. So I think the court screwed up in the beginning, and this should have never even gone as far as it did.
Just because there's not enough time to do something legally doesn't mean you can do it illegally.
Yeah.
You know, I could see if maybe somebody was in intimate danger, like if it was a matter of personal safety for somebody, you know, you hear something.
But Thomas, then it's no longer a search. It's they've probable cause to enter the domicile to serve and protect, right?
True.
They weren't doing that in this case. In this case, they were searching for contraband.
Yeah, they smelled the weed and they wanted to see what was in there.
Yeah.
I'm just glad they finally called it, but I don't think it should have gone all the way to Supreme Court. The lower court should have caught it, because it's, you know, it's obvious that they didn't have consent. And the fact that the lower courts even agreed with the police is ridiculous. So it's nice to see some common sense in the Supreme Court. So Benny, what's our main topic this week?
So our main topic this week, we have Lori on. So the main topic this week is turkey time. Wild turkeys were once a very common sight in southern Ontario, but by 1909, they had been hunted to near extinction.
Extinction.
In 1984, wild turkeys captured in several eastern U.S. states were released by the government of Ontario back into the forest of our province. The release has proven very successful.
Measures of selective harvesting and hunter education have since proven fruitful, according to the wildlife management experts. Our provincial population of wild turkeys is now plentiful in southern Ontario regions. Regulations have been put in place to ensure that their populations are respected, and during the spring hunting season, there's a two-bird bag limit, Separate turkey tags must be purchased for each bird, and they must be harvested on separate days. To hunt wild turkey in Ontario, you require both a small game license and a special wild turkey license. And as of January 1st, as Mike and I discovered a couple of months ago, that you don't need to take the standalone wild turkey education seminar. So it was a waste of $40 anyway, because everybody passed, but it's no longer required. So I wanted to have Laurie on for a couple of reasons. First of all, because she's got this excellent organization that she started up. And in a couple of weeks, she's actually having a ladies-only turkey hunting seminar to teach women and youth how to properly hunt turkey. So welcome to the show, Laurie.
Thank you.
So hunting turkey Ontario, what's the minimum firearm requirements under law for hunting that species?
20 gauge.
Okay. And shot size?
I want to say 4. Don't quote me. Yeah, I'm on the spot now. I'm all nervous.
So you can't hunt a turkey with a rifle then?
No, absolutely not. It would explode. I'm pretty sure it would explode.
In Texas, you can use 22 Magnum to hunt turkey for headshots.
I mean, like, if you're a super marksman and you could, like, shoot it with that, I guess I'd be fine. But I would say 12 and 20 gauge are more than enough. There's a lot of people who use bow, and that's fine too. But if I were to shoot one with a bow, I'd want, like, the bow fishing package attached. That way, really.
Reel it in if you don't make a clean kill, right?
That's right.
Do they have stuff like that? Do they have, like, a string attached to your...
They do for bow fishing.
Yeah, for bow fishing.
Yeah.
But you're only allowed to do that for bow fishing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Don't listen to that. You might not be allowed to do that in the province of Ontario.
Absolutely not.
Read the little disclaimer at the end of the show. Like, you know, don't listen to us, really. And the legal minimum you can hunt is 12 and a 20 gauge, and the shot restriction is 4, 5, and 6. Now, you see a lot of people, a lot of turkey loads coming out these days. Or you see like a 3-inch, 3.5-inch. What's the advantage of, say, if I went and bought a box of turkey loads compared to regular field loads?
To be honest, you would have to get out there and see what works best for your shotgun. Patterning. A lot of people don't realize the importance of patterning your shotgun, because every brand is going to work differently in your shotgun. If you have a turkey choke tube, that's going to be a lot different with a lot of different brands out there as well.
Okay. The choke tubes, they tend to be an extra full choke, don't they?
Yes. Sometimes, I would say for the most part, yes. A lot of times it's a lot more punch. So if you're getting a youth out there or a lady for the first time, maybe don't give them a turkey choke tube to start off with, because I'm pretty sure they won't want to shoot it anymore.
Okay, so start them on the 2 3/4 inch with a full choke, and then you can work them up to the heavier loads later on.
Okay. You mentioned something, patterning. Now, I understand the general concept is you buy one of those fancy targets that looks like a turkey, and...
You can just the board, too.
Okay. And pretty much you line up your shotgun and shoot at it, and bang, you've got this nice spread of pellets. Now, yes. What am I looking for in this giant spread of pellets?
So, in the giant spread of pellets, you are looking for your kill zone shots. So, it's the most concentration of the pellets. Because most times when you're shooting turkey, you want to aim for its head. So on your paper, you would have, say, a 4x4 or a 5x5 box drawn and a dot in the center, and that's what you're aiming for. Essentially, you're aiming for the turkey's
head.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
And it is a small target. So the more pellets you can get into that box while you're patterning your shotgun will tell you how many pellets you have a more optimal chance of dispensing a turkey quickly.
Okay.
So by changing your chokes, you'll actually see the differences that your tighter chokes will put through on that target you're shooting at. So it's a good idea to pattern it first and try the different chokes to see how they're reacting in your gun, because if you use your friend's gun and that brand of choke, it may not be the same as your gun and the same brand of choke.
And I think you'd be surprised with the different brands of bullets as well. It does make a difference.
Okay. So what would you say is the optimal number to get in that box?
Well, really all you need is one. The one pellet is the pellet.
Ideally.
Ideally, I would say no less than 30, 40.
Inside that 4-inch by 4-inch box?
Yeah, especially if you're using a choke tube.
Okay.
Yeah, because your target is his head plus his spinal column, so you want to get as many in
that area,
that line up and down. You've got his brain and then a spinal column, so you want to get as many in that little concentration.
Okay. Okay, and what range, like how far away are you normally doing this test?
I would say start off with 20 and then work your way to 40, but I would say there's really no need to go any farther than 40. You can go up to 60 yards if you want, but chances are if you're out in the field, you're getting them to come to your decoys and you're bringing them within a 20 to 40 yard range. And that's
okay.
Will be that. I was going to say, like up to 60 yards, that's when you want to start using the bigger loads with more payload.
Okay. So if a buddy just says, hey, Mike, come out turkey hunting with me, and I say, okay, sure, great. I grab my shotgun and I go to pattern it before I go. That 40 yards is roughly where I want to be. I still want to make sure I get that 30 shot inside that 4-inch by 4-inch square.
Definitely.
Okay. And while we're talking about this, what about lead versus stainless steel, tungsten, all the other fun metals?
I think, honestly, it's dealer's choice. It's what works best for your gun. You're going to know more knockdown power when you're actually out there using it. Because if you have a bird come in at 20 yards, sometimes they come in closer. So even if you're not the greatest shot and you aim where you're supposed to aim and you shoot, you're still going to take down that bird.
Okay. So, but we are allowed to hunt with lead shot in Ontario then for turkey?
I want to say yes.
As far as I know, we still are. It's just when you're near a body of water that you're restricted to the non-tox. Yeah, there's a lot
more red tape for that.
It's the migratory birds that have the, I believe you have to be careful what your shot's made of.
The other thing I would suggest too is that if you go out and you do buy, a nice turkey choke, read the instructions, because a lot of times you can't run stainless steel to a tight choke. Okay. You want to get a tube that's made to take that type of shell that you're using. Because mine are all lead only.
Okay.
So it depends on the choke, not the barrel.
It's a combination. Yeah. It's a combination. Like if the barrel has a choke barrel, then that's your deciding factor. If you've got an older gun with a fixed choke, I wouldn't be running like a fixed full choke. I wouldn't be running stainless steel through it.
So I don't have to worry about the threading on my choke being damaged because I may have used the right choke, but I used the wrong load.
Oh yeah, it won't affect the threads of your choke.
Okay.
And most times when you buy a turkey choke tube, it will state what you should and shouldn't avoid, and it never hurts to Google some extra stuff about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Awesome.
So why do people wear camo when they're turkey hunting?
Because their eyesight is amazing.
They're like hawks. They're like absolute hawks.
They're hawks, yeah.
Okay, so do you need, like, when I go hunt deer, I just have a jacket and an orange hat and an orange vest. I assume I don't have to wear any of that camp or orange when I go turkey hunting?
Absolutely not. You don't have to wear any orange at all. And make sure you don't wear white or red either.
Why not?
Well, because in case there is another hunter in the field, you might not know that he's there and he might not know that you're there. And if you're wearing white, say a white and red t-shirt underneath, and you're moving the grass, like the leaves around, trying to get that rustling sound, or you're making calls, you could accidentally get shot because of the colors.
Okay.
It's true. Like if you take the, I'm assuming you took the turkey education seminar too, right, Lori?
Yeah.
That was the only thing you actually really learned at that seminar, which is the reason that they have the seminar, is because people were getting shot in the state because other hunters were sneaking up behind them. So they show you how to, which we're going to cover the next step, is setting up your spread. Like even you can set the decoys any way you want, but the thing you really have to take in consideration is protecting yourself. So if you do have colors on, such as Lori suggested, you want to be behind a tree or a rock or something. So if you do accidentally call in another hunter who's stalking turkeys, which you shouldn't be doing, you're not going to get shot. So that was a nice thing about the seminar. It did have a safety aspect to it.
A lot of it was common sense and safety, which I actually enjoyed taking it because it was good to hear about. And it was kind of a history lesson on how they brought the turkeys back into Ontario and stuff. So I thought it was useful.
Well, Betty just went through the hunter safety course, and you didn't cover turkey hunting at all in the course, Betty?
The only time it came up was when they're discussing hunting orange, hunter orange, when you don't have to wear it. And that's pretty much it. So
I think they should have, if they're incorporated, turkey into the course, I think they should have included a segment about, setup and cover and not stalking and stuff like that. Cause it's common sense and it's safety. So I think it should have been included.
Yeah.
All right, so back onto the camo. Whenever I see friends posting pictures of them out turkey hunting, they wear those masks. Is that a requirement, or is that just a luck thing?
Well, I guess it's all a preference. My husband wears glasses, so for him wearing the mask is sometimes harder for him because
steams him up.
Fog up, yeah.
Yeah.
Where some people just wear the paint, as long as you are not a solid color, as long as you try and break it up with some face paints and stuff or rub some dirt and mud on your face, I'm sure it's not a huge deal.
So you don't have to go and spend $20 in makeup. You could just take some dirt just to break up the white on your face.
Yes.
You just take your canteen, pour it on the ground, make a puddle, rub your hands all in it, rub it on your face. That's how you do it.
Yeah. Then he's had to do it before.
Yeah. Doesn't work so well in the desert because your face just turns a nice pasty beige.
Sandy color.
Yeah. You gotta find a patch of dirt first, otherwise it doesn't work so well.
Oh, okay. So when you're talking about camo, I know the shotgun that I have came with camo, like camo dipped or camo wrapped, whatever. And that just by chance. Now, my wife's shotgun is just black. Well, it has some Muddy Girl camo on, like, the stock and the grip. But the rest of it's, like, flat black. Is that okay, or is that going to be of concern?
I guess it depends, really, on what your setup is. If you're in a ground blind, it really won't matter all that much. If you are sitting with your back to a tree, you're going to want to move a lot slower and make sure that bird is not focusing in on you as you try and get yourself lined up for that shot.
Okay. Now you just said the bird focusing on you. Are turkeys like horses where they see left and right, not so much straight ahead? That makes sense. Like, are their eyes on the side of their head versus the front?
No, they're on the side of their head.
They are on the side of their head, but like I said, they have amazing eyesight. Like, okay. If I were to be, for example, if you know yourself, if you're ever driving down the road and you see turkeys out in the field,
yeah.
If you are, say, on a back road, you stop and you back up, they're gone.
Okay.
So imagine if they've been in this one field for weeks and they know that there's nothing dangerous in this field, and all of a sudden this lump of stuff is starting to move around. They're like, oh, I'm out of here.
Okay.
So they're going to pick up on all what's different.
Okay. So she doesn't necessarily have to wrap it up, but it just, she might have to be more concerned about her movement with a flat black shotgun then.
I would definitely say first time hunters or newer hunters, it'd be best if you were in a ground blind or if you kind of put up some brush in front of you to break up that flat black.
Okay.
Barrel.
Okay. That kind of got onto another subject of how do you hunt turkey? Like, why don't we
Very carefully.
Well, why don't we start with, you mentioned already the ground blind. I assume having some sort of, either you go to sale and you buy a pop-up ground blind, or you buy the little, like, camouflage, what do you call it? Like tarp, I guess you could call it, and you could build yourself a little blind around you. Can you hunt turkeys from a tree, like a deer stand?
Definitely.
Okay. Are there other ways that you can hunt turkeys, or hide yourself, I should say, for hunting turkeys?
A friend of ours introduced us to a really great way, is having a pair of like snips with you.
Okay.
That you can see some of the brush and some of the dead stuff around you, and kind of build like a semicircle in front of you, this brush, so it hides you even more, but you're not fully covered.
Okay.
But still either have like a tree to your back, or a rock or something, and then it makes things a lot easier. You can kind of shuffle and move yourself around a little bit more.
Okay.
And there's a lot of guys using the, it's like a big turkey fan, so it's like a silhouette of a turkey on a stick that shoot, scoot and shoot, or whatever it's called, scoot and scoot.
Shoot.
I wouldn't be able to use that. There's no way I'd be able to crawl through a field and not be too excited, and then if it came at me, I'd just, I'm sure I would throw the silhouette and miss my shot anyway.
I haven't seen those yet.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look that one up.
I think I saw something like that for bow hunting with a deer. It's like you mount this, what looks like a shield almost, around your bow that looks like a deer. And then like out of the neck of the deer would be where your arrow comes out of.
Oh, I'm gonna get shot doing that.
I was going to say, how terrible is that though? Hey there, good looking. And an arrow just comes right over your neck.
There are women like that, I hear.
So, do you usually set up your blind or whatever like days earlier, like deer, so that it will like acclimatize to the area, the smell and everything? Or do people tend to just go out and they just set up their blind for that day, or cut the brush around it and one day use?
It depends on the farmer or whoever, landowner's permission. If they know that you're going to be the only one out there turkey hunting, by all means, set it up there a week or two before. Just to have the birds get used to it. They know nothing's happening. And then that way, when you sneak in the dark, you're not going to get busted.
Okay. And you just mentioned sneaking in the dark. Do I have to get up at 4 a.m. again and go walk all the way out there in the dark?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. Hunting's sounding like way too much work.
But it's worth it.
I gotta find where the turkeys are and then everything. Oh.
You gotta put the work in. You definitely gotta scout it out first.
You can hunt in the afternoon too. You don't have to be there first thing in the morning, because they come down off the roost in the morning and they go back to roost at night. So if you know where they're roosting and you set up in the evening, because when the licenses first came out, you could only hunt from sunlight to 12 noon, and then you had to be out of there by 1 o'clock, because in the 1 o'clock, somebody else could go in the afternoon.
Okay.
It was a two-day season when it first started.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I assume it's like deer, you can hunt all day long, but your best chances if you go first thing in the morning, like dawn and dusk kind of thing?
Again, you have to watch your birds. You have to know where they're coming out. You kind of have to know their travel path, and then set up somewhere in between where they come down and where they're walking for the day and ambush. Okay.
So scouting's very important.
Very important. Because you could go into any field and say, yeah, I'm going to turkey hunt here. But if you didn't do your homework, you're setting up for nothing.
That was going to be my plan, but... So... How do you tell that turkeys are in the area, besides the fact that you saw them on your way home, you know, from work one night?
Well, if you go out walking, walk the bush lines and stuff like that, definitely you can look for their prints. Especially if there's been rain, or like especially now that all the grass is moistened from all the snow melting away. You'll be able to see their imprints and also like their dust up areas. Their poop.
Okay. And it can be pretty vocal at times too.
Very much so.
Okay. Sorry, that just brought up another thought in my head. I'm just bouncing all over the walls here. You just said tree line, so does that mean that the best, like one of the best spots to hunt turkeys are along a tree line, or should I be deep in the woods? Should I be in the middle of a field?
Again, I think it depends on your bird. Where we are, we've had more success on tree lines, so when they're coming off the roost and they're kind of stretching their legs from sleeping all night and walking from one field to another, we kind of hang out in between and get them to come over to us, and that's when we take them.
Okay.
Now, setup. How many decoys do you typically use in your setup?
One or two, depending on the bird. If it's an older bird in our area, chances are it's been hunted hard. So you kind of have to try your luck. Sometimes if you have two or three hens and it's not penned up yet, chances of it coming to you are going to be a lot higher than if it's a tom with a hen. Chances are it's not going to come to you because it already has a hen and it's like, hey, I know those sounds. Doesn't sound quite right. And those ladies aren't doing enough dancing for me, so I'm going to stay away from there.
Now, when I took the course, they actually they advised us against using toms as decoys.
I think depending on how aggressive or how old your bird is, young Jakes seem to be the easiest birds to take because they're like, hey now, there's someone in our area, let's go and pop up and see if we can get them. Whereas the older tom, they'll be more weary when they see another tom because they know that means they're going to get beat up.
Yeah, it was funny. My friend Kathy, her son and I both took the course at the same time, and she bought the spread, and he bought a couple toms. First day out turkey hunting, he puts out his decoy. He's got his tom set up, and a tom sees it, comes charging, and beats a snot out of his decoy. Just tore the crap out of it. So he got the bird, but he ended up shooting his decoy too. But it's a couple times I've heard of people actually the toms coming in and actually attacking the tom decoy.
So do you set the decoys up like as you're sneaking into your hideout for the day, or do you set them up a day or two in advance as well?
I would set them up just like once you get to your area, you figured out where you're going to go hunting. If you know where your blind is in the dark, put all your stuff in your blind, get your decoys out, you know, march out 20 yards or so, put the decoys out. And then put them on an angle away from your blind, so your blind is not the main focus, so that they're going to come out and see the decoys, and they're going to focus on the decoys instead of your blind.
Okay.
What type of calls do you like to use? Do you prefer the mouth call or the box calls?
The mouth calls aren't that bad. I'm getting a lot better at them. They're definitely easier to use.
Do you drive around your car with your call for practicing?
Actually, we've been doing it in the house. Driving the dog and the kids crazy.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to practice in the house anymore. I've been told to do it in the car, so I practice going to and from work.
Sorry, so you're saying the difference between the mouth calls and the box calls?
I think it, like I said, it depends on if you are out of the blind. Mouth calls would be best because then you're not doing a whole lot of movements with your hands. It's all mouth. The box calls are better for if you have, like I said, that partition in front of you, or if you are in a ground blind, then you can move your hand to the side and do your calling and then get your hand back up ready to shoot.
Okay, so you have to match the call to the hunting situation that you're in.
Yes.
I'm assuming it's like deer, and there's about a billion different types of turkey calls out there. Do you know the differences between them all? Are there standards or?
Can I say something before we go into this?
Of course.
You use Kevin Bartley from Gobblestalker Calls?
I have, yes.
Okay, so he's one of the few people actually, and he's in Southern Ontario, so we're lucky enough that we actually have a guy in Southern Ontario. It's Kevin Bartley at Gobblestock recalls he makes an excellent product. They're all local made. So you don't have to order stuff from the States. You can get a lot of in-house and province made box calls, mouth calls, and everything else. I know Kevin has sponsored your event in the past, has he not?
This year actually I had sorry, I'm at a loss for his name, Jason Clark, another Southern Ontario guy, or I guess Midwestern. He's in Owen Sound and he owns Turkey Slayer calls.
Okay.
Everything made in house as well. Like he's promoting us this year and donated a bunch of calls for all the ladies. But so far, out of the mouth calls, the Turkey Slayer one has probably been the easiest one for me to use.
See, I thought Kevin was doing that. That's why I gave Kevin the promo. So tell us a little more about this guy that's promoting you this year then.
So Turkey Slayer, I believe it's him and his brother. So I guess it's a family run company and they're just outside of Owen Sound. And they do slate calls and they do the diaphragm calls.
Excellent. Okay, so we'll have to get a link for the end of the show notes since I tried to plug the wrong company on Laurie. I know last time we spoke, I've actually had met Kevin a couple of times because he used to do a lot of stuff with us for the National Wild Turkey Federation, so I wanted to give him a plug too. But I thought he was doing the setup for Laurie this year, so I was wrong.
That's okay.
So the different kind of calls, are they like with deer, there's a buck call and a doe call? Right, to simplify things. Is there a hen and a tom call, per se?
Yeah, definitely. So the tom calls, to get the gobble on a mouth call, I can't do it. But it's just, I can't. Not yet, anyway.
Not yet.
The hen calls are a lot easier. They do make a handheld... funny looking. It's like a black accordion type thing for your hand that you can shake and it does the turkey gobble.
Okay.
So that is actually a handy thing to use. The crow call is actually a really good locator call in the morning.
Okay.
Once the birds start to wake up, you can use the crow call a little bit. It gets the turkeys kind of fired up.
Okay.
Do they have issues with crows?
Yeah, they hate crows and they hate owls.
Oh, okay. So they get some riled up and get them moving if you start doing. Okay, see, I didn't know that.
Huh. Yeah, get them right riled up.
Okay.
So that would send them away or towards you?
It'll let you know where they are. Okay. So if you let out a few locator calls and you go like, okay, yep, they are still, say, to the right of me, behind me. That's good, because now once the sun comes up, they're going to see my decoys out there and focus on the decoys, not me.
Okay, so you get a locator call and then actually a call-in call. Okay.
Okay. So in the spring, you can only hunt for toms versus fall where you can go for a tom or a hen, correct?
Well, you can hunt it's supposed to be a tom or a jake, but it's really in the
it says it has to be a bearded.
A bearded bird. So sometimes our hens, much like in real life, who have beards.
It's true.
Okay, so what's the difference between a jake and a tom?
Just age and the size of his beard.
Okay, so a jake is like a teenager and a tom is like an adult then. Something like that?
Yeah,
okay. But they're both males.
Yes.
Okay, so in the spring when you're going for a bearded turkey, is there one particular call that tends to bring in the boys better than the girls?
The hen clucks. If you do set up some decoys, I would suggest hens because in the spring is their mating time, and so they want, toms and jakes want to have a lot of ladies following them. They want to have like a harem of ladies.
So just like at the club.
Yeah.
I'm not saying a word.
More ladies that you have, the better for them. So if you can entice them, if they're not henned up already, if you can entice them to come over to the hen decoys, then you'll have a much better chance of getting them.
Okay. And, sorry, quick question on the side here. What if you have no decoys. Is that okay? Like, can you still go out there with none? It'll just be harder.
It could be. I would suggest if you have no decoys, if you know that they're going through a certain set, say a certain bush, then I would go into the bush a little bit farther, because then they can't, they have to go into the woods towards the sound because they can't quite see you.
Okay. So go a little, don't go right on the tree or the tree line. Go a little bit deeper in then.
Yes.
Okay.
Hey. Got all your questions out there, Mike?
For the moment.
For the moment.
Hey, I want to go turkey hunting for the first time this year. So now that I don't have to do a course, I mean, yeah, I'm trying to soak it all in. I'm trying to think of all the questions that a new hunter would ask.
Well, you know, if you shave off that beard and put a dress, you could go to Lori's course.
If it wasn't so far away, I would be sending Sarah there just so that she could report back to me with all the good information.
She would go anyway.
Yeah, she could. You know what? It's really, where are you guys?
We're from? Up in Ottawa.
Oh, then yeah, that's quite a hike.
Yeah. Yeah, if we were in Toronto, it'd be worth the drive, but it's a little far for us here. But
yeah,
if you ever decide to put a show or do a course out on Eastern Ontario, we'll be there. Well, Sarah will be.
Haley Daniels with the Canadian Women of the Outdoors just did a co-ed turkey seminar in Belleville today.
There you go.
Oh, gee, that.
Were you not just near Belleville?
Yeah, we're not far from Belleville. Like, that would have been very doable.
His favorite gun shop's in Belleville, so he could make an excuse to go to a course and go shopping at the same time, and they both would fly with the wife too. So,
I was gonna say Mike doesn't really need an excuse to go shopping, going to a gun shop with his wife.
Anyways.
So I got
a couple questions first before we let Lori go. So for the new shooter, you go out and you buy one of these camel shotguns. You've got the Mossberg, or you've got everybody makes a designated turkey gun these days. So what do you find is the best sighting system for a hunting bird? Would you say two dots or a bead or maybe some type of optic? What do you like to use in your shotgun for sighting?
I have the color viz sight.
By Rocket?
That's all I have. I find it works best for me. I'm not a fancy hunter though. Like I am the rub the dirt on your face kind of gal. So for me, I'm not fancy and it works. Maybe as I get older and maybe if my eyesight starts to go, then, you know, I'll upgrade to scopes. I've seen some gentlemen who their turkey shotgun has a scope on it. So I think it all depends on your comfort level. It's all in going to be your comfort level with the gun as well. Like, get out there and shoot. Pattern it. Get comfortable with it. Shoot it till you hate it. And then it'll become second nature to you.
Good advice. And you can get shotgun-specific reticles in your scopes. I have one downstairs.
I had another thought. What about scents? Do you use any sort of scents to bring in the birds?
No. Not personally, no.
No. Do we need to worry about our body smell? Like, do turkeys have a really good sense of smell?
As far as I know, their sight is their most powerful weapon, I guess, against hunters. If you're a cologne wearer, maybe don't wear a whole lot of cologne because anytime you go turkey hunting, of course there's going to be deer. So if the turkeys see that the deer are spooked by you, then chances are they know that there's something out there and they might not go.
Okay. But you don't worry about putting on any of those like, scent neutralizers or anything like that on yourself when you're out there? No.
I just don't wear perfume that day. And if you go out turkey hunting, make sure you have your bug juice, because it is going to be, the black flies are going to be brutal.
Oh, yeah, it's right at the beginning of black fly season.
Yeah, have your thermocells ready. That is probably the second most important piece of equipment when you go turkey hunting, besides your gun and your camo, and is your thermocell.
Okay.
I haven't had that problem yet in my shooting career.
No?
The whole bug thing. Yeah, I know. I've managed to avoid that.
You're lucky.
You're lucky.
I feel like that's also dependent on where you go and shoot, right? Because I've been at some clubs where, you know, when you're in the first bay, there's no bugs at all. But when you get to, like, the third or fourth bay over, all of a sudden, black flies are all over the place.
Oh, and my outdoor range is bad because we're right near the swamp. So in another month, you don't want to be shooting outside when everything starts to hatch.
And, I wish you guys were closer to the area because I do have... unfortunately, it is ladies only this year, but I'm looking into doing co-ed events next year. Is the ladies intro to turkey hunting in Elmer this year?
Okay,
but you do have some co-ed events coming up. You are working on a pheasant hunt this spring, but your guy only does it in the fall, right? He only does them in the fall.
Well, it all depends on his main work schedule. Yes.
Okay. I know Mike from Pine Ridge. I emailed him last week, but the email came back. So I'm going to have to call him because what I'd like to do is do something, in the fall with Lori. And I'd like to do something in the spring something closer to have two shoots. So something out near where she lives and then something closer to us. George is supposed to be working on that, but he's been laid off or laid up.
Yeah. Laid off and laid up are two different things. Well, while we're on the subject, are there any other events that you'd like to promote that you have coming up?
I have the Ladies Intro to Turkey Hunting on Saturday, April 8th. It's at the East Elgin Sportsmen's Association in Elmer, Ontario. The cost is $70 per person, but that includes all their ammo, their lunch, their refreshments, gift bags, door prizes, and a chance to win one of four guided hunts that were donated to everyone. It'll be lots of hands-on stuff for all the ladies.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Like,
thank you.
There's no way could anyone say that that's not worth the money or the time.
Well, not for $70.
No.
I know myself, a lot of ladies, we learn hands-on. If you tell me a bunch of information, I might remember some of it, but if you actually take me and show me it and make me do it, I'll remember it forever.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like me. And then it sinks in once I physically do it.
Yeah.
Okay. And any other events coming up?
So far, that's it. I'm thinking about doing either a co-ed waterfowl seminar later in the summer. I'm going to probably do a pheasant hunt, obviously, with you guys. And then we'll have to see what shows and stuff come up from there.
Okay. And where could people find your schedule?
So they can check us out on Facebook, the Canadian Sportswomen's Society, or they could also go on to the website, which is www.canadiansportswomensociety, all one word, lowercap.ca.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Well, since we already covered our first event, Benny, why don't you do the next event? Because Lori's event was our next topic.
Okay, so our second event is the Manitoba Mounted Shooting Association is having a beginner/intermediate mounted shooter clinic. It will take place on the... Skype window
that
over.
Small print, really, really bad.
You want me to read it?
Horrible. No, I got it. Okay. It's going to take place on April 22nd, 2017, at Chalachuk Acres, 103 West and 48th Road North, Nesbitt, Manitoba. The clinic includes a 1 free year membership for first time MMSA members. Sounds like it's going to be a blast. Details are in the show notes.
We should send George out there.
Yeah. Oh, if I was anywhere out there, I think that would be an awesome thing to go do. And if I had a horse and two revolvers. I feel like I really don't have anything to go to this event.
Doesn't Sarah do cowboy action?
Can't you borrow your wife's guns?
She did cowboy action, but she doesn't ride horses.
Yeah, but she's got the guns. I'm sure she'd let you borrow them. You're a good boy.
I don't know. I might have to beg.
Next event, Event 3, is a Canadian Air Gun Grand Prix. It will be held on May 5th, 6th, and 7th, 2017. For additional information and letter of invitation, please contact Sherry Atko. Email is at sakow@dwpv.com. Links are in the show note. And Mary Patrick will be competing in that event. So if you want to go see some top-level Olympic caliber shooters, go check out the Canadian Air Gun Grand Prix.
Okay, and event number 4 is the Carbine Operator Course on July 7th. It is at the Guelph Rod and Gun Club. All proceeds are going to the charity shoot for this course. And since the charity course next day, I'll just cover it. It is in support of Many to One. It's $40, and it's being hosted by... you think I'd know this off by heart by now, but of course I don't. The Canadian Patriot Podcast.
Oh, come on. Say it 3 times fast, Mike. Come on.
And it's also in partnership with the International Liberty or Death Podcast. There are a lot of great sponsors at this time, and if you are interested in sponsoring it, you can contact the guy at Canadian Patriot Podcast. There you go. 3 times. I had to find somewhere where I could slip that in.
Okay, event 6 is Mr. Uzi's event. The Got Your Six Charity Rifle Competition will be held at Edson Fish and Game Association's Longest Mile Range in Edson, Alberta on July 22nd and 23rd. It'll be a team sheet with great prizes to be won. We still haven't heard what this expensive mystery gift is supposed to be, but from what Tom says, it's not on skill. It's just by attending, so you can win an awesome gift just by showing up, even if you suck.
So do you have to show up, or can I buy a ticket from Ontario and win it from over here?
I think they want you to actually be there to win it.
Oh, man.
We'll have to ask him.
We'll ask him.
Yeah, we'll ask him. But
he's being secretive because nothing was finalized yet, and because it's a big prize money and they're going – or prize item, and they're going out through the lottery corporation, he wouldn't say anything. So,
yeah.
So, Thomas, let us know. Any email this week?
Nope. It's empty. I haven't gotten anything. Oh. Listeners, send us emails.
And how do they send us emails?
By sending an email to host@newshooter.ca. Newshootercanada.ca.
Or our Facebook page or the comment section on our website at newshootercanada.ca.
iTunes, Mike?
None new.
Facebook. I looked at this an hour before we recorded. We're only at 1,067, and we went up to 1,069. So thank you very much. We like getting the Facebook likes.
Yep.
Closing comments. Okay. Anything, Lori? Anything you'd like to say?
Just for anyone who is going to go out hunting the spring wild turkey this year, if you are unsure, it does not hurt to ask people. People will not think less of you if you ask for help and advice. It is way better to be safe than sorry.
Good advice.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shout outs this week. Shout out.
Shout-outs?
Yeah. Is my microphone muted again? Oh, no, good. Scott. Listener Terry, George's buddy. He's officially a new shooter. He got his pal. And Terry, thank you for the CCFR keychains. And why didn't you get your RPL?
maybe that's next weekend.
It could be. But yeah, I just want to give Terry a shout. He's been messaging George and I, and he's really proud of us. He's got 2 guns now and his RPL, and he went shooting for the first time today. So the more new shooters, the better.
Yep.
Mike?
Nope, I got no shout outs.
Me neither.
actually, my shout outs to Lori for coming on and answering my 1,001 questions.
It was my pleasure to answer as many questions as I can.
Well, thank you. I really do appreciate it because I obviously have no idea what I'm doing. My plan was just to walk out into the woods with a shotgun and hope a turkey walks in front of me and sits down on the plate, right? So,
how many spaces are left in your course, Lori?
Actually, I only have 3 spaces left. I had a lady back out. There's only 3 spaces left. It's gonna fill up quick And even if I'm at 17 with 17 of the 20 ladies, it's still going to be so much information and a lot of hands on that day. It's going to, the day is going to fly by. It's going to be a great day.
Okay, so only 3 spots left, so you're free April 8th. So only in a couple of weeks, give Lori a contact, or you can message the show and we can forward it on. Anything else, Benny?
No, I think that's it. Thank you, Lori, for coming on. Thank you, Mike, for being such a great interviewer, because I could not have thought of half of those questions. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to have to train Benny better at being co-host.
Yes.
Lead host, you know. We're going to have to give him show notes. Benny, say this. Benny, say that.
Well, you guys just threw me on the deep end. You're like, okay, Benny, you start. And it's like...
All I've heard
I got to make up an intro.
Thing when you're on the radio. You never have dead air.
Okay. Take us away, Thomas.
Until next week, folks, keep your barrels downrange and smoking. Take a kid shooting.
Time spent at the range is time spent with family.
It's not about the odds, it's about the stakes.
Does Lori have a final comment?
Keep your stick on the ice.
There you go.
Perfect. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Obviously, my stick is not on the ice.
I really like 22 men.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or feedback you may have, or if you just want to call shenanigans. You can contact us at host@newshootercanada.ca or through our Facebook page.
The way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale till I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.